Hi and welcome to the CDC Insight podcast. In this podcast series, we share some highlights from one of our recent Insight events. The events aim to share practical lessons on private sector investment and development based on our experiences, knowledge and research. And our main guest today is Fred Swanaker, founder and CEO of the African Leadership Group. Fred is joined by CDC's Head of Africa, Tembite Amias, and Colin Buckley, our General Counsel and Head of External Relations, for a wide-ranging conversation on the future of leadership, technology, and job creation on the African continent. So without any further ado, I'll hand you over to your host, Colin Buckley.
So Africa's population is the youngest on Earth and the fastest growing. By 2100, five of the 10 most populous countries on Earth will be in Africa. The job creation demands of such a demographic trajectory are profound. The Brookings Institution, for example, estimates that Africa must create 12 to 15 million new jobs each year simply to absorb the youth entering the labor market. The World Bank estimates that 450 million new jobs must be created in the next 20 years. It also estimates, soberingly, that only some 100 million jobs will be created on present evidence, leaving an enormous shortfall. One of the persistent themes of these conversations has been a focus on tools other than capital that development finance must use in order to stimulate economic growth and create jobs. And today, we return to that theme and we'll look at leadership and technology as potential strategies. We're joined today by Fred Swanaker, founder and chief executive of the African Leadership Group. Fred has a long trail of honors, young global leader at the World Economic Forum, identified by Forbes magazine as one of the top 10 young power men in Africa, a TED fellow, a fellow at the Aspen Institute. But more importantly, Fred is passionate that the missing ingredient in African economic growth is leadership. And to promote leadership, Fred has founded two organizations with an aim to create a generation of African entrepreneurial leaders, the African Leadership Academy and the African Leadership Network. So let's dive right in with this kind of, you know, idea of leadership. I mean, can you give us some sense of what you mean by leadership? And also kind of the first question people always have, which is, can you train leadership? Or do you just need to create an environment in which leadership thrives?
Thanks, Colin. That's really the age-old question, isn't it? So, you know, you first asked me, what is leadership? The way I think about leaders are, leaders are basically agents of positive change, right? They are able to imagine a better future for those that they serve and to then rally people around that vision. So that means as a leader, you obviously have to marshal the resources, which means the people, the funding, the technology to bring a vision to life. And in Africa, especially, I believe that the leaders who are going to be most consequential are those who have the ability to reinvent and to reimagine things, to think unconventionally, because we live in a continent where we cannot use conventional solutions to our problems. And so, you know, one of the things that as a leader, you often have to be willing to be misunderstood for long periods of time because, you know, often you can only see a vision that others cannot see. Now, your question about are leaders born or are they made? One would think that because I started something called the African Leadership Group and we have the African Leadership Academy, African Leadership University, that you might think that I believe that leaders can be trained. I believe actually that leadership is not something that you can teach, but rather it's something that can be learned. Leadership can be learned. And let me explain what I mean by that. It's similar to that whole saying of you can take a horse to water, but you can't force the horse to drink. So similarly, when it comes to leadership development, you cannot force someone to become a leader. You can, however, create an environment that enables leaders to rise.
So Fred, I mean, we position this entire discussion about leadership within the kind of the framing of this demographic challenge. So can you help us make that connection? Where does leadership fit in this effort to try and create these jobs for this big, you know, what's been described as a demographic ticking time bomb in Africa? What's the role of leadership in order to solving that problem?
Well, you know, we're talking about trying to defuse the ticking time bomb to create jobs for young people in the continent. So, you know, the way I look at it is that for this time bomb to be converted into an opportunity for the continent and indeed for the whole world, because, you know, I think let's put this into context. Africa, by the end of the century, will be 40% of the entire world's population. And by 2035, we'll have the largest workforce in the world, larger than China, larger than India. So this is not an African problem, it's a global problem. And in order for this to happen, I believe that there's sort of four critical things that need to come together. The first is government policy. You know, we need to really create an enabling environment that makes it easy for investment to come in, for businesses to thrive and to grow. And some of these things that need to happen are pretty simple. Don't get in the way of someone who wants to register a business. You know, help make it easy for foreign investors to come into your country. You know, cut red tape. All these things that don't actually require money. It's just a decision. The second thing that needs to come together and that leaders need to drive is we need to reimagine how skills are developed. See, today, the current vehicles that we have for developing, for preparing young people for employment, things like universities, are actually the wrong vehicles. Universities were never designed to prepare people for work. Most universities, you know, measure their quality by the research that they do and by the interest of the faculty that they have. They are knowledge enterprises, not skills enterprises. And so they say madness is continuing to do the same thing over and over and again, expecting different results. Universities will not produce, they were not designed to produce people who are ready for employment. So we need new vehicles, new types of programs that are actually more fit for purpose. That are skills enterprises, which are linked where there's much greater linkages between work and employment. You know, where research, for example, from the Center for Creative Leadership shows that to acquire a skill, only 10% of it can be learned in the classroom. 20% comes from what they call developmental relationships with your mentors and peers and coaches. And 70% comes from experience. We learn best by doing. Yet today, most education is only focused on that 10%. The third thing that needs to happen is we need to focus on our competitive advantages. There are some things when you're trying to develop a continent, don't try and copy other parts. Look at what you uniquely have, right? And so in Africa, there are certain things that we are uniquely blessed with. For example, you know, we have the largest amount of arable land that has not yet been cultivated. We have abundant sunshine and rain. Yet we import $40 billion of food into Africa that we have perfect soil conditions to grow, right? That is a travesty. Massive opportunity for agribusiness on this continent. The creative industry, you know, Africans are very creative. You can see what the Nigerians have done with music, right? They've built a whole industry and they've gone global with it. It's creating jobs. How do we do that same thing with film and theater and all these other things? And the good thing about that, it doesn't require much capital. It just requires your brain, you know, creativity. Things like natural resource management, wildlife conservation, tourism. These are things that we uniquely possess. And the final thing, the fourth thing that needs to come together is entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship ultimately is the biggest engine of job creation. You know, once the government has made it, created that environment. For example, one of the things that we have seen in the African Leadership Group in the work we've been doing the last, you know, 15 years to develop young entrepreneur leaders is that every one of our young leaders who becomes an entrepreneur, they create an average of 16 jobs. One person creates an average of 16 jobs. And these are young entrepreneurs, people between 15 to 23. And what we're finding is that young entrepreneurs, very young entrepreneurs as we call them, they tend to hire other young people. They hire their peers. So an older entrepreneur will hire older people, a young entrepreneur will hire young people. So if we want to solve youth unemployment, we have to create young entrepreneurs. So can you just imagine the multiplier effect of this? And these are the things that need to come together. Government policy, reimagine how we develop skills, focus on our competitive advantages and really kickstart entrepreneurship.
So thank you. That's really useful. And now we've spoken a lot about kind of leaders and entrepreneurship. Let's talk about what I know is another big you know, important issue for you, which is technology, and especially the sort of the move online and what that means for Africa. Is that a move that you feel kind of needs this new type of entrepreneurial leadership? And is there a connection between that kind of the leadership and this technological shift and this move online in Africa?
Yes, technology is one of the greatest forces for rapid change. Isa, if you think about it, it's getting faster and faster to develop society. You know, so if you look at how long it took for the European countries to go from the poverty levels that you might see in Africa today to where they are, it took them 1,000 years. Right, they went through the Renaissance period and Leonardo da Vinci, the Industrial Revolution, all that's a long time. When the US was created and they started the development journey, it took them about 300 years. Japan took them about 100 years. If you look at Singapore, South Korea, Malaysia, 60 years. China is doing 30 years. Dubai is in 15 years. So it's getting faster and faster and faster. And what is happening is that each time, each society that is developing is borrowing the ideas and the technology from the previous generation that developed, the previous society that developed. And they're just simply, it's allowing them to leapfrog and to do things faster. So you don't have to figure out how to purify water because someone else has already done that with technology. You don't have to figure out, like in Africa, we didn't have to, you know, when the mobile phone was invented, we leapfrogged and we went straight to mobile telephony, and within 20 years, 800 million people had access to telephones. Whereas before, with the traditional landline model, they weren't getting there. So technology allows you to move much faster. And right now, COVID has actually created a massive disruption where there's another huge wave of technological change, which if we move and rethink how we develop our society, it can actually be a catalyst for development in Africa. So for example, if we're talking about this job creation challenge, after this pandemic, there's going to be a great rehiring, right? Economies are gonna start growing again, and companies will suddenly need to rehire millions of workers that they had let go to get back to business as the economy recovers. So it's gonna be an exciting time for young people to find work. But what's more even exciting is that this pandemic has opened up markets for young Africa's youth to work. You can now work all over the world. Before, the market was for African talent was only on the continent. If you wanted to go and work somewhere else, you had to go through all kinds of immigration challenges and everything. Now you can sit, an engineer can sit in Tanzania and work for Siemens in Germany. A designer can sit in Kenya and work for Zara in Spain. And that's a huge opportunity for African talent enabled by technology.
You've spoken about, you know, quite a number of initiatives that you've undertaken in order to support leaderships, the Leadership Academy, networks, and so forth. But is there something that, you know, that we can do, that either DFIs can do, that investors can do? I mean, we've got quite a few people listening in on this. I mean, what is it that we can do to help in that, promote leadership in Africa?
You know, too often we try and import best practice into Africa. Let's look at what they're doing in the rest of the world and let's copy that and bring that here. But I believe that the rest of the world standards are too low for us in Africa. And let me explain why. If we're on a racetrack and you are driving behind another car, if you use the same vehicle and go at the same speed, you'll never catch up to that car in front of you because they're also moving forward. So you need a different vehicle. You need to move faster and do things bigger and better, not hold yourself to the standards of that other car in front of you. And the rest of the world is that car in front of us. We are behind when it comes to, you know, our development and technology and so forth. So what we need, therefore, is reimagination, and we need new practice, not best practice, in Africa. And so to support that kind of leadership, I think what, you know, organizations like CDC and all of us who are working with different leaders in Africa, we need to be much more open to new things, right? We need to give leaders who are trying to do things differently a shot. And this means consumers thinking differently about how they support, you know, entrepreneurs with a new idea, employees being willing to support their leaders. We need to be willing to venture to places where people haven't gone before and have a greater appetite for risk, because we don't have time in Africa. We need to completely reimagine everything. Otherwise, we'll never get there. And that's, I mean, the greatest support that we need to foster a new generation of leadership in Africa.
Well, that's a great metaphor for us to keep in mind as we move maybe to the second part of our event today. Now I'd like to invite Tenbite Hermeas to join us. Tenbite is CDC's head of Africa. Before joining CDC in 2018, Tenbite held multiple global leadership roles, I mean, including as a partner at McKinsey and at Boston Consulting Group. Tenbite, welcome. And let me start out by kind of asking you the question around job creation. I mean, we've set today's discussion in this kind of demographic frame of the scale of the need for new jobs in Africa because of the growth in population. Can you give us some sense of, you know, how CDC sees this and what it's doing in order to try and create those jobs?
Thank you, Colin, and it's a pleasure to be here, and hi, Fred, as well. As you mentioned, and as Fred also mentioned, the task in front of us is quite daunting when you look at the demographic trajectory for Africa and what it is that we need to do to be able to employ and have productive citizens going forward. From CDC's perspective, you know, one of the key things that we've been focusing us on is on investing in digital infrastructure. And we know from the work that we have done that investments into internet and connectivity, they drive economic growth by creating jobs, but they also drive social inclusion. And Fred touched on some of these as well, which is around education, opening up market services for people in the job space. And from the CDC perspective, how we think about that is, you know, we focus on the countries and places on the continent where the need is the greatest, and where the impact can be the largest. You know, just to give you a couple of the stats around the daunting nature of the technology need on the continent, something like 20% of all businesses that need telecom services actually get services on the continent, so 80% do not. London has three times as much cloud computing capacity as the entire continent does. I think the estimate from the World Bank is that it'll take $100 billion of investment in order to achieve universal internet access on the continent by 2030. The comparable for the European Union right now is 90% of households have access already. So it's a huge thing in front of us. But I think what it says is that investing into the infrastructure is a very important part of unlocking that leapfrogging that Fred was talking about on the job side, because digital infrastructure is critical.
So we've spoken a lot about technology. Let's just make sure that we get the whole picture here. I mean, if we are talking about job creation, I mean, how does the whole technology fit into that? I mean, are there other sectors that are also likely to drive this job creation? You know, how important is technology in the next 20 years in Africa?
I mean, I think, you know, to me, technology is an enabler, and in and of itself, it'll create some jobs, but that's less of the point of investing in the infrastructure, obviously, is to enable other things. You know, if you take for granted what, you know, the profound point that Fred made around entrepreneurship as a sort of a mindset and about, you know, leading by being entrepreneurial, not necessarily just starting a business, you can think of all the other sectors as being a part of the job creation agenda. I think in the continent, agriculture is one that is a really important and very high potential space that is perhaps less attractive to the younger generation, but a really high potential space that can get unlocked through technology. And I think that holds a lot of promise, given the food security needs for the continent, but also, you know, for the rest of the world. Another one is vocational work. Vocational work is timeless. You know, the things that vocations, and by vocations is a broad category of things, everything from welders to plumbers to, you know, aircraft mechanics, everything is vocational. Especially in the context where labor movement on the continent, and, you know, Fred made this point too, internationally is enabled, vocational work, you can pack up and move it to wherever. So I think from that perspective, it's a great investment and something important that we will need to think about as job creation. And the reality is also that the middle class in Africa is growing, and that middle class growing needs more services. And I think that is also another area why vocational work has a brighter future than it's had in the recent past, I think. Healthcare is an important one. You know, as the continent becomes more and more urban, as it becomes increasingly more able to spend, but also as it evolves into a place where traditional and safety nets that we have all been accustomed to through family support and so on, those start to, you know, fade away. Healthcare and services related to that for aging members and so on. So similar to the rest of the world. I think there's other things like tourism, which we touched on earlier, remote services of different kinds, whether it's business process outsourcing, designing for Zara in Spain while you're sitting in Nairobi as the example. All of these, I think, are just the tip of the iceberg. There are many things, you know, that present opportunities for the next generation of job seekers. And I think it's about being curious. It's about being hungry. It's about also being willing to be, hardworking and committed to something that I think that'll take.
And Fred, any thoughts on this sort of, you know, the relative weight of the digital sector and more traditional sectors in job creation moving forward?
Yeah, I think that, as Tambisa mentioned, you know, technology is important, but we shouldn't over-glorify it either. I think it's an enabler of many other industries. And as we cannot be in business today without technology. So it's technology used to be the domain of, you know, Silicon Valley firms, software companies, but now you need in every sector, right? It's just a core part of doing business, just like, you know, you need electricity or you need to function, right? So that's kind of the way we need to think about technology here. It just allows you to do the things you were gonna do to solve problems, slightly more efficiently and maybe at lower cost, right? So for example, over the next 30 years, over 600 million people are going to move into African cities. Africa's urbanizing at one of the fastest rates in the world, faster than China ever did, right? So that's gonna create a huge amount of problems, right? Traffic is gonna be a problem, you know, sanitation, housing, urban planning, all of these things are gonna require problems. And because they're problems, that's also where the jobs are gonna be created, because entrepreneurship ultimately is about solving problems, pain points for people in society. So if you want to understand where the jobs are gonna be created in Africa, look at where the problems are. Urbanization, healthcare, education, climate change, you know, infrastructure. That's where the jobs are gonna be created, because that's where the biggest pain points in society are.
Thank you for listening to this CDC Insight podcast. If you'd like to find out more about our Insight program of events, articles, and podcasts, you can subscribe to our newsletter. There's a link to it to sign up in the episode notes for this podcast. And that's about it for today. Thanks again for listening, and we'll be back with a new podcast episode very soon.